Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, assault, graphic violence, murder, self-harm, degradation, and knife play.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a 180 from the last couple ones.
Yeah, it's a dark one.
And I have a sweet little Spotify comment, and this one is from iatemygrandma.com.
Aww.
Oh, sweet. I hope she was tasty. Usually I don't like podcasts like this, but with their side notes, it's just so much easier to enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, do you guys know what episode this is? It's a very special episode.
The 69th episode.
69? Episode 69.
Yeah. Wah, wah,
wah. Also, it's the last episode of the second season.
We're letting you know now. We'll post on Instagram, but we'll be back. January 1st is the first Wednesday.
And I hope you guys 69 your partners tonight.
Do it. Yeah. Go find someone and 69 them.
In honor of us.
And Riley and I will still be over on Patreon at r/smut. And we will be releasing our monthly episodes for everyone, too. So you'll still hear from us. Just not every week for 2 months.
We're going to miss you guys while we're gone. And Andrew and I, hi, this is Riley, will be doing a podcast as well for Patreon. And it is called My Eyes Are Up Here. And what we will be doing is we will be watching erotic thrillers. And we'll be chatting about it with you guys. And if you want to give us suggestions, we're more than open to them. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be with my husband. We've already watched one, Basic Instinct. That movie is so good. Never seen it before. Just recently watched it. Very good.
Sexy movie. And we'll also be setting up a super tier to where you can sign up for all three of our bonus podcasts, plus the early release, ad-free, regular Smut Up and Listen episodes for $10 a month. So for $10 a month, you get early episodes, plus three extra episodes a week, which not bad.
Not bad at all. If you like us, do it.
And then I have one more announcement. I will be making a post in December for something fun coming up for season 3 as well. So keep a lookout for that on Instagram, December 13th, actually.
Woo!
Yeah. Oh.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm so excited. Now that our housekeeping is out of the way, this week we're telling Riley all about Scream for Us by Molly Doyle. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3. It was kind of a lot.
Yeah.
It really gave me, like, without giving it too much away, like Satan's Affair vibes.
Oh. Yes, very much.
Jenna. On Goodreads, I think I did 4 full stars. And at first, in my head, I was like 3.5, 3.75. But then I was going through my notes, like before the podcast today. And I was just like, I have to give it 4 full stars because, like, these men are completely unhinged and legitimately, like, feral. And I love it.
Of course you do.
I expect nothing less. It is so unhinged that I was just like, what the fuck? I love it.
I gave it a 3. I think I realized what my problem is with dark romances, and it's that I want them to be realistic if they're not fantasy. And dark romances like this are not realistic to me because there's no world in which any of this would happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's no world in which these young adults could do the things that they're doing and just, like, walk away. So that kind of takes me out of the story and makes me cringe a little bit. And I think that's what my issue is with these dark romances. I want them to be either realistic or I want them to be full fantasy.
That's fair.
Yeah. I even thought of that, like, during the book. I was like, there is absolutely zero way this would happen in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a novella prequel to a complete series. Mm-hmm. So maybe we find out why these people get away with the things they do in the series. But as far as just this book, reading it as kind of like a standalone, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Our main character, Quinn, she arrives at an epic Halloween party packed with people and goes to find something to drink. She picks a spooky party punch and starts to pour some when a guy dressed as the Joker makes small talk with her and asks her what she's supposed to be. She's in a black corset bodysuit, black fishnet tights, and black combat boots, and she admits that she honestly has no idea. She just threw it together.
That sounds like a very cute outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was gonna say.
That's sexy. That's hot. Uh-huh.
She's looking hot.
She could have got, like, cat ears or...
Yeah, a little lazy, but it's cute.
His friends call him away, but not before he introduces himself as Kevin. She's pretty tipsy when she hits the dance floor, and then there are hands on her waist. She doesn't pay attention to who it is, but she does try to swat the hands away, and they go lower on her body, but they don't budge. And then they come up and they grope her boobs.
Wow.
Aggressive. Mm-hmm. The stranger then starts to sloppily kiss her neck, and she finally breaks free, turning around to shove him. He's offended and calls her a bitch, throwing his beer on her chest, and then he's knocked flat on his ass by a tall, dark figure.
He would be knocked on his ass by me. I would fucking punch that guy.
You would, Jenna.
I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Jenna will punch a man.
Witness. I would love to hit a man.
It's a
great feeling.
Come here, Andrew.
That's domestic violence.
It has to be a stranger.
I'm just gonna go hit a random man on the street.
And be like, oh, that felt good.
You know why.
You know what you did.
The dark figure punches him over and over again and says if he ever touches her again, he's dead. People move out of the way of the fight, and she can't believe this random person just helped her when no one else wanted to. Because remember, she's on the dance floor surrounded by people, and they can see that she's pushing this stranger away from her.
I just want to say, though, what happened to girl code?
Yes!
If I saw a bitch fighting for her life on the dance floor... I'm swinging.
Yeah.
My eye, it's twitching. I'm coming for you. The beginning of this book, I always had the question of, does she have a friend? Does she just go to this party, like, completely by herself? And she's just vibing by herself?
The confidence that would take, though.
I know. The figure dressed in all black slowly turns to face me. And the moment I see the mask from Scream hiding his identity, I'm left a hot, quivering mess. There's just something about this moment that mesmerizes me. He approaches me, now towering over my small frame. He's at least 6'3", and even though the dark fabric of his costume hides his body, it's obvious he's built like a god. They're always built like a god.
Always.
But the Scream mask is hot.
Where's a fat man?
Bulky. Jessica Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That was a fat man.
Didn't you do a Santa one too?
Yeah, I did. But I think he was like a ripped Santa.
Oh, sign me up.
He's a giver.
He says, I'll come down your chimney.
The douchebag's friend sees that he is out cold and tries to attack Ghostface, but he doesn't stand a chance, and Ghostface knocks him out cold as well. She pulls him away from all the chaos and they go upstairs while his friend in the Jason mask follows them. When they make it upstairs to a room, she is all alone with these strangers in their masks, but she feels somewhat safe. And I put, no.
No. Why would you feel safe?
Absolutely not.
No.
I'd be shaking in my boots. There's red hot sexual tension, an electrical current in the air, and my inner thighs once again become slick.
Slick.
She's hella soaked.
When he asks if she's okay because she's visibly shaking, she says that she's fine.
I have this urge to kill. He hesitates, his voice low. Anyone who touches you.
They just met.
Why?
I'd be like, I'd pull a Charlotte and be like, my dad's calling me. I actually have to go.
I have to be home for dinner.
I'd say, oh my god, are we safe here?
This whole book, she feels so safe with these masked men for absolutely no fucking reason.
Call me crazy, but I think it would work on me.
Jenna's like, I'll take your word for it.
Jenna says, where can I find this?
Jenna has no survival instincts.
Yeah. Yesterday? I don't know if it was yesterday or today. I can't remember. They all blur together. But I was walking back from my work. I work right next to a Target. I went to go get stuff and I came back. And there was like this weird man in his car that was driving like 2 miles per hour and just staring at me the whole time he was driving. And I was just like, la la la, minding my business, because I was like, that's weird. And then he stopped his car and then was just staring at me. And I made it to my building and I like went inside and then he just like drove off fast. But then I went inside and I was like, oh my God, I almost just got kidnapped. Like, I was like blushing.
Jenna.
He chose me.
I would have looked him dead in the eye and would have been like, woo, 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 woo.
She asks if she knows them since she doesn't recognize their voices, and Jason steps into the conversation asking if she got hurt, and she reassures him that she didn't. She asks what they want from her now that they helped her, and Ghostface tells her what every other guy at the party wants from her. And then all of a sudden the door slams open and a guy wearing a Michael Myers mask comes in. Ghostface dismisses both the guy in the Jason and the Michael mask, and they are finally alone.
Someone dressed as Michael Myers stands in the doorway. How are they all taller than 6 feet? I've been reading too many smut books lately, and I clearly haven't gotten out enough.
Jenna.
Me?
You know what Halloween mask I think would get me, though? Is the Hellraiser mask. I don't know what it is about Hellraiser, but I'm like, oh.
Which one's Hellraiser? Is he the one with, like, all the pins? Okay, yeah.
Pinhead, right?
Okay.
I could see it.
Yeah, that's the sexiest one, personally.
I think Freddy Krueger's kind of hot.
He's a P-E-D-O.
Oh, my God, he is?
Yeah, that's why he got burned.
I didn't know that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Cancel me. I didn't know that.
I don't think any Halloween mask guy is hot, but you know who I do think is hot from a scary movie?
Who?
Whomst.
Jason Long in Jeepers Creepers.
Mm-mm-mm. Justin Long?
That's who I meant. I was thinking about Jason Segel from earlier. Justin Long.
I mean, Justin Long back in the day could get it.
Oh, yeah. He's hot.
Especially in Tusk. Wow.
No.
Okay. Wow. Have none of you seen it?
I have. I'm terrified of him in that.
I was obviously kidding. That movie is made me unwell.
I never watched it.
Charlotte, you've never seen it?
No.
That has you written all over it.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe I'll watch it to fall asleep tonight.
It's just a weird movie that I feel like that would just be right up your alley.
Okay.
It's really weird.
It made me so uncomfortable. I hated
it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna watch it.
She is hella soaked now, and he grabs her face and asks if he were to slip his hand between her thighs, if she would be wet for him. She whispers that she would be very wet.
You asked what I want, Ghost says, inching closer as I lose my ability to breathe. I've been watching you all goddamn night. I want to fuck the sadness out of you until you're screaming in ecstasy while coming around my cock. Fuck, he grunts, tightening his grip on my face, squishing my cheeks. Even through this mask, I can already smell how sweet you are. I want a taste.
It's been 5 minutes.
Yeah. Also, what if she's not sad? And he's like, you look sad, bitch.
She's like, I am now.
He asks what she wants, and she tells him she wants him. She wants him to bring her darkest fantasies to life, even though their versions of dark will probably be different, but on one condition. It has to be one night only. He tells her okay, but she will always be his, even after one night. He tells her if his dark fantasies are too much, for her to use the safe word mercy, and they'll stop, and she agrees. He commands her to face the wall and put her hands on it, so she does as she's told. She's scared, but also really excited. She admits that she trusts him with this, and he tells her that's a wrong answer. She shouldn't trust him.
Yeah, correct.
So she spins around, defying his orders, and she tells him that she wants him right now. He presses her into the wall and takes his gloves off. He tells her to close her eyes, and she obeys as he ties his robe belt over her like a blindfold. So they have like their masks on, and then they have like black bathrobes. Because they're like belted and stuff.
For what reason?
It's Halloween.
Yeah, spooky. Yeah, you're right.
He rips her fishnets at the crotch and spreads her legs, and she begs him, please.
His warm breath brushes my clit, every nerve ending on edge. Yes, he groans, pushing his fingers between my sensitive flesh. Such a needy little slut, aren't you?
She is. How does he know that? He doesn't know her.
I feel like the only logical explanation of all this would be that she's just ovulating. Maybe that's why she's like hella soaked with a masked stranger that she's never met.
It's just and the hormones.
Has lack of judgment because she's ovulating. She's in heat. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a beta.
Thank you, Dr. Jenna.
You're welcome.
He starts to finger her and she moans impatiently until he picks her up and carries her to a bed. Once he sets her down, he finally tastes her and no one has ever made her feel this good. She comes and she tells him that she needs more. He pins her arms down and continues to eat her out until she's coming again. When he releases her, he tells her that she is his and he unties her blindfold.
Slowly opening my eyes, they adjust to the light and my heart drops the moment I notice Jason and Michael in the corner of the room. Wait, I rush out, quickly trying to cover myself. They were watching. Ghost turns to face me, pulling on his menacing scream mask before I have the chance to see his face. He nods. You're upset, he observes. What part of dark fantasies doesn't involve having other guys watch as you get that sweet little cunt of yours eaten? Consent, though.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
I like how he's like, you're upset. Oh.
What's wrong, princess? You don't want people in the womb with you?
Internally, she's like, okay with it, though, because in her head, she's like, that was actually kind of hot. Just then, a couple more men dressed as football players burst in and take in the scene. A little trigger warning. They ask if everyone is taking turns, and then Ghostface loses his shit, and before he can literally murder them, she grabs him and tells him that they should go. The football players make a comment about finding her later and then doling out the same thing that they're doing to her now, and Ghostface and Michael Myers unleash hell on them and just beat the fuck out of them. At one point, Ghostface has one up against the wall with the knife pressed to his neck. The guy apologizes, so he puts the knife away, and she realizes this could have gone a lot worse if the three of them weren't with her and she was in the room by herself, because they were going to sexually assault her.
These are teenagers?
They're like right out of high school.
I think they're, yeah, like college maybe. Delinquents.
Street youths. Jason grabs her and she nuzzles against him as he tells her that she's safe and she is theirs. Back down at the party, she runs into her middle school and high school arch nemesis, Veronica. She is blindsided by all the horrible memories of being bullied by this awful girl, and Veronica tries to fake being nice as Jason steps up behind her, saying that Quinn is with him. And then Michael and Ghostface also step up. Veronica has the last blue raspberry jello shot, and since Quinn is backed up by three masked men, she's like, give me that jello shot.
I love a blue raspberry jello shot.
Me too. I was never a fan of jello shots.
I don't think they ever got me drunk, but they tasted nice.
Yeah.
I do love jello.
Yeah.
Veronica tries to say no, but Michael tells her to hand it over. Quinn says, it's fine. I'll take the cherry one. It wasn't good to see her. And then they walk away. She's only got balls because she like has three giant scary men with her.
Yeah,
I'd have balls. Yeah.
She goes to the bathroom on the verge of a panic attack, and Ghostface comes in asking what that girl did to her to cause such a reaction. She tries to brush it all off and asks for a distraction instead. He comes up behind her and lightly chokes her and forces her to look at him. He turns her and lifts her onto the sink, and she begs for more.
She's like, can I please have a distraction? And he's like, let me choke you.
That would work on me.
Jenna's like, yeah.
Let me just choke you. Relax.
That's like a natural stress reliever, though. It's a thing. Sometimes really? When I get like really overwhelmed at work, I'll like squeeze my throat like a little bit, but like just like my pressure points, I guess, on my throat. And
I'm gonna ask a coworker to choke me tomorrow.
Hey, can you choke me a little bit?
I'm feeling a little stressy.
Hey, can you come into my office?
I just need to be like choked out a little bit.
It's a great stress reliever. I really highly recommend it.
Please, I moan, feeling his broad, manly shoulders beneath my hands. Please, more. You call that begging? Please, I plead as he rubs my clit over the thin fabric. Please, ghost, please. Fuck, baby. He sharply exhales. That's right. Say my name.
Ghost.
That's not your name. That's your mask.
No, your name's probably like Michael. Oh, wait, there's already a Michael. Tim.
He asks if she's on birth control as he takes a condom out, and she says yes, and she's clean. He yanks his pants off, and his dick is obviously huge as fuck. He runs it along her entrance, and she begs again until he thrusts into her all the way. He fucks her without letting her adjust and picks up his pace, but she is loving it.
Here I am in a stranger's bathroom getting railed by Ghostface. And even better, he's fucking my brains out through the hole he ripped in my fishnets. Please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. Not yet, at least.
Girl has no self-preservation.
No. Noah. He's just getting a quick fuck.
He did say it was forever, though. That's he said true.
That. Yeah. He also did say that he wanted to kill anyone who touched her. So,
yeah.
He continues to fuck her until she screams, and he loves this and tells her that he wants the whole house to hear her so they know that she is his.
Tell them, baby, I'm yours. I breathlessly moan, rocking my hips to match his thrusts. Yes, that's right. Such a good little slut. Bounce on daddy's dick.
Oh my God.
You young man.
They come at the same time, and when he sets her down, his cum leaks down her legs.
So now she's back at the party, and she's having the time of her life. She's dancing, singing, drinking, and as Monster Mash begins to play, she sees the three masked men staring at her from across the room. So she's by herself, just dancing to Monster Mash. Getting it.
Yeah, girl.
She starts dancing all sexy for them, and she sees their bodies tense, and then she feels a tap on her shoulder. It's a guy dressed in normal clothes, smeared with fake blood, telling her he loves her costume and says she's hot as hell. And she's not really wearing a costume.
No, she's just fishnets that are now ripped a giant hole in the crotch in her corset bodysuit.
She's like, thanks. And he grabs her wrist. She tries to pull away, but the guy's like, where are you going? Then Ghost appears out of nowhere and tells the guy to get his fucking hands off of her or he'll gut this random dude like a fish. The guy is like, why don't you let her decide? She's not your bitch. So Ghost shoves him across the room, and the guy stands up with a knife through his hand. So Ghost stabbed him in the hand.
Jesus.
Yeah.
At a party. At a house party.
Yeah, that's insane.
Don't worry, it gets worse.
It does. Also, what is with all these shitty people at this one party?
I don't know.
It's just a party for sexual predators.
Yes, so.
It's a ditty party. The guy starts screaming and Ghost starts mocking him. So the guy is like, ah, and then Ghost is like, wait. And Ghost tells him if he ever puts his filthy hands on what belongs to him, he'll hunt him down and kill him slowly. He goes over to the guy and twists the knife out of his hand, and blood is spurting and people are screaming.
Yeah, call the cops.
Yeah. I don't think the police are very good in this town, though.
No. No.
She leaves the party with the three guys and they start walking, but her heels start to hurt after a while, and Ghost tells her to take off her shoes and he will be carrying her. And she tries to protest, but he's like, I know you just want someone to protect you and keep you safe, and that's what we're gonna do. And she's like, okay, that's actually very sweet. That would give me the icky.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Be like, can you just call me an Uber? Yeah. I want to go home.
They wind up at the guy's house, and when they get inside, Ghost finally takes off his mask. Obviously, he's tattooed and hella hot, but he looks strangely familiar to her. She tells him she's seen him before, and he's like, are you sure? And she says, yes. And then he leans down and kisses her. It's passionate and hard, and he pins her to the wall. He tells her he plans on fucking her violently and passionately tonight, and says she has 10 seconds to change her mind. He starts counting down from 10, but she's like, I want you to bring my darkest fantasies to life. I want this. Then the countdown is over and it's on.
Hell yeah.
The guys make everybody drinks and the sexual tension is thick as hell. Then Ghost asks what exactly her dark fantasies are. She says she doesn't know exactly, just some stuff she's read about. And then Jason starts rubbing her leg as Ghost starts kissing her neck. She puts her hands over Jason's to guide him exactly where she wants him, but he gets down on the ground between her thighs and opens her legs as Ghost squeezes her throat. Jason is still wearing his mask, but he pushes it up just enough to chow down on her.
Chow down. Thrusting his finger inside of me, he flattens his tongue and twirls in precise circles, sending every nerve ending into overdrive. My inner walls tighten, spasming around him before he adds in another, fucking me savagely with long, slippery fingers. I envy him right now. Ghost breathes beside my ear, applying more pressure to my throat, making it hard to breathe. That sweet little pussy is my favorite meal.
Whoa. Romantic.
Do you think, like, if this was a real life thing, that he would be thinking about the fact that he is eating her out with his friend's cum dripping out of her?
It seems like they're all very close.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
I don't think this is their first rodeo.
I don't think so either.
No. She comes violently and Jason picks her up like a baby and she finally gets to see his face. He's also hot as hell, and he's a brunette.
Oh.
He carries her to a bedroom, dropping her on the bed, and asks if she wants to taste herself, and she says yes. They start making out, and he rips his jeans open, and his huge dick springs free.
His huge fat cock.
Of course. His tiny penis.
His micro penis jumps out.
Ah, not the micro.
Rubbing the smooth, rosy head up and down the wet slit of my sex, his lips leave mine, cascading down my neck. Jason buries himself inside of me with one long stroke. It takes my breath away as he stretches me wide, thrusting into my wetness again and again. My nails dig into his back as he drives into me hard, increasing his pace. He lifts my leg over his hip, granting him more access. My body accepts him deeper, inch after inch, his engorged cock hitting all the right places. His breathing becomes labored as he pounds into me, a strangled whimper escaping my wide-open mouth. Grabbing my jaw, he turns my head to the side, where I spot Ghost standing in the doorway, staring straight at me, watching us.
Slit! Jason starts rubbing her clit as Ghost stalks over and grabs the back of her neck, pushing her face down and ass up. She tells them she wants them both, and Ghost is like, "We know, baby. We'll take care of you," as he lubes up her butthole.
That's a butthole.
He gets her ready with his fingers first before sliding his dick into her ass. They're both fucking her. Ghost is slapping her ass repeatedly, and she starts to come. And Ghost commands her to scream for them. And she's like, "Oh, God, yes."
DP. "Your tight little ass feels so good around my cock." Ghost grunts, plunging deeper, harder, faster. "Choke me," I moan out, pleading. "She's a good girl," Jason praises, wrapping his fingers around my throat, applying just enough pressure to make me see tiny spots of white light. "Aren't you? Such a good fucking girl," Ghost groans, his breathing shallow as he thrusts into my ass ruthlessly, tugging hard on my hair. "Fuck, so tight. You're doing such a good job taking us." "Yes, baby," Jason grunts, bucking his hips from the mattress, drilling into me. "I'm gonna fill you up."
She just met them.
I know, and they're doing anal.
Yeah.
Like, anal the first time meeting someone? Insane.
That's wild.
And he just stabbed someone. You just watched him stab someone in the hand, and you went home with him.
What if he didn't poop that day?
He didn't ask.
Yeah. He's just gonna come out with a poopy sword?
He didn't care.
He tightens his grip on her throat, and she comes again as they both come inside of her. When they come down, Jason asks her if she's okay, and she says she's better than okay. She lays between the two men with cum dripping out of her, and Ghost gets up to get her a towel and begins to clean her up. Suddenly, he gets very still, and she realizes that he's noticed the scars on her wrists. Then he starts to ask her about the girl she got into it with earlier, but Quinn says it's really not a big deal. He presses the issue, and she's like, "My childhood sucked, and I got bullied badly, but it was a long time ago. But sometimes I wonder if everyone was right about me." And he's like, "Right about what?" And she says that all the kids told her that her dad killed himself because of her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now both men are fucking pissed, and they want names. Quinn tells them that all the bullies work at the haunted house every year, and Jason assures her that nothing they said is even remotely true. Ghost assures her that all of the assholes are going to pay for what they did to her, and they'll pay with their lives. A while later, she's on the back of Ghost's motorcycle, and the men are back in their costumes. And also, they're gonna pay with their lives.
Wild.
Calm down.
They were children.
And what kind of bullies work at a haunted house every year? When I think of the people that work at haunted houses, they are the fucking dweebiest people in the entire world.
Yeah, also, they are all adults now out of high school, and they still work at the haunted house every year. Who's really winning here?
Every year. Yeah. You're a scare actor.
Wow.
When they stop, Quinn asks where they are, and Jason tells her they're at the back entrance of the haunted house, and Ghost asks if she's ready for some real fun, but Quinn is freaking out and doesn't want anybody to see her, and Ghost is like, "Don't worry about that. Leave everything to us." Michael whips out a flashlight and leads the way through a cornfield. Everyone that sees them freaks the fuck out and screams, running away from them. Because remember, they're dressed up as Ghostface, Jason Voorhees, and Michael Myers.
Yeah, scary.
In robes.
Yeah.
With weapons.
Yeah. Jason asks her how many people they're looking for, and Quinn tells them it's every single person working in the haunted house.
Well, Quinn, what did you do then?
Yeah, it seems like maybe there's a common denominator here.
Yeah, Quinn, maybe you were rightfully bullied. Overthinking that? I'm just kidding, everyone. I'm just kidding. Please don't cancel me.
You already got canceled for the Freddy Krueger thing.
Oh, so. My God. I had no clue.
Yeah. No coming back from that one. Ghost asks for the names of the ones who hurt her the most, and she says Derek, John, and Alex. He asks her if she wants to watch, and she shakes her head, so he's like, that's fine, just wait here. Do not move, no matter what you see or hear. Do not leave this spot. She says okay, and the three men stalk toward the haunted house.
Let me guess, she leaves the fucking spot.
I will tell you.
I'm not going to tell you the answer to that.
Okay, I was like, what's happening? They have a whole game plan to lock these dick bags in place and not let them run anywhere. So once the last group of people are out, Ghosty, he takes out the knife and he starts taunting Derek to come and find him. Derek is a stupid, dumb idiot. And when Ghost says that he's a friend of Quinn, Derek's like, oh yeah, that weird bitch whose dad offed himself. Next thing you know, Derek's up against the wall with a knife sticking out of his chest.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Calm down.
Ghost literally continuously stabs Derek viciously until he's dead. So he just murders him. He murks the fuck out of him.
For this girl he just met tonight.
Yeah. And that girl's just like, ah, oh, my hero.
Sploosh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm wet.
He finds his next victim, Johnny Boy. Johnny Boy is dressed as a crazy scientist, and as Ghosty walks up, he asks him if he's gonna be his next subject, and he says, no, but you're gonna be mine. And then he pounces on him like a puma.
Oh.
He's just stabbing Johnny over and over, and he tells Johnny that he's gonna get one stab for every year that him and his friends tortured Quinn. And he stabs him so much that he loses count, and Johnny finally dies.
What if that guy was like, that was like in fifth grade? I don't even know her anymore.
I was 10, I'm sorry.
He's like, too bad, you have to die.
Jason comes to find Ghosty, and he tells him that their last target, Alex, is tied down to a chair in the middle of the room with his mouth duct tape. Ghosty takes off the duct tape, and Alex is confused, obviously, and he tells him that this is revenge for Quinn. Jason says, you're fucking crazy, and he's like, yeah, crazy for her.
Oh my God.
Everyone in this story is delusional, and I love it.
And Jenna loves it.
So after Ghosty kind of like has a little breakdown, he's like, yeah, I'm crazy for her. He just slits his throat. So they're starting to get rid of the bodies as they're planning to set fire to the whole entire place. They're just gonna burn the whole thing up. Burn all the evidence, burn the bodies. And then a girl literally runs into the room that they're in and sees Alex with his throat slit and just starts running away. So Jason chases after her and Quinn pops out from the back door. She was worried about her Pookie Bear and she had to make sure that he was okay.
I knew she was gonna leave her spot.
Dumb bitch. That's why your dad killed himself.
No wonder. No wonder.
He's literally covered in blood from head to toe, and he stalks toward her until she pushes herself up against the wall and tells her that she makes his cock so hard.
Insane. You're all insane.
All this murder has really gotten to me this time. The sight of blood always makes my dick hard. I need to be inside her, buried in that tight, wet little cunt.
That's a red flag. She starts by enforcing the Gluck Gluck 3000, and then he lifts her up and places her so she's laying down on her back.
I waste no time driving into her as her pussy sucks at my cock with each thrust. Ew. I'm just picturing her pussy being like... She feels so good. Too fucking good. She's my new obsession, and she doesn't have the slightest clue. Yes, she whimpers, fisting the robe over my chest. Yes, daddy, yes.
Ugh.
As soon as daddy leaves her lips, I drill into her faster, locking my fingers around her throat, taking her breath away, fucking her without emotion, without remorse, just deep, forceful strokes as her body stiffens beneath me, slamming into her again and again. I fuck her violently, just as I had promised. Withdrawing the knife from the sheath at the back of my pants, I press the tip to her throat. She gasps, squirming beneath me. Yes, she encourages, and that's all I need. Please. Dragging the tip of the blade down her neck, I lightly nick her collarbone, and her body reacts with a shudder, moaning for me. Quint tilts her head to the side, exposing her throat. Sinking my cock inside of her slowly, I graze the blade to the sensitive flesh beneath her ear, smearing blood on her skin. Oh God, she cries, bucking her hips, matching my strokes. Oh God, God isn't here right now, I confirm, nicking her skin again, again, and again.
Okay. He's like, yeah, I see you used to cut yourself. You want to do it again?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Oh,
as they're getting downright freaky, flames are erupting through the room and there's smoke everywhere. He tells his good girl to take his mask off and put it on herself, and she obeys. I'm setting the scene for you. There's loud Halloween music playing in the background. Flames are engulfing the place and there's screams of people realizing that they're trapped inside this haunted house and they're about to burn to death. While he's still fucking the ever-loving shit out of her. Like, they're still fucking.
This sounds like a terrible, terrible night terror.
This is her sexual fantasy.
Mass murder while getting fucked in a haunted house.
Arson?
Arson.
Shame. Shame, shame, shame.
He's fucked her a little bit too long, though, because now the smoke is completely engulfing the room and he can't see anything in front of him. But he picks Quinn up and they make it safely outside as the place is burning to the ground and the structure starts breaking down. She's delusional as fuck because she cups his face and tells him she feels so safe with him.
Why? You have no reason to.
No, you shouldn't feel unsafe. This is the most unsafe I'd ever feel in my life.
They walk away from the crime scene and get to their parked motorcycles. They make Quinn ride with Michael for precautionary measures, and she's holding on to Michael and literally getting wet, thinking about fucking all three of them. Just as they're about to take off, the police turn the corner and shout at them to wait. Now it's a full-on police chase, and Ghost motions for Michael and Quinn to go down this abandoned road as him and Jason use themselves as a distraction. And that's when Quinn realizes that this is not their first time doing this, and it probably won't be their last.
Obviously.
Quinn and Michael are back at the apartment, and Quinn is having a full-blown panic attack because Ghosty and Jason aren't back yet. And she's blaming herself for being the reason that they just committed murder because she's delusional.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, they just committed murder because of me. No, they committed murder because they're psychopaths. They're murderers.
Yeah.
Michael takes off his mask and she sees a sexy man underneath. He helps her do breathing exercises in the middle of the room to get rid of her panic attack, and they just committed murder. And he's like, okay, breathe in and out.
Like, it was really like funny. Box breathing. In for four, out for four.
They're locking eyes, and she basically describes his eyes as dead eyes in the book. She says that there is an endless depth, completely unreadable and completely empty. And it's so hot to her.
Terrifying.
Oh, God.
He has narcissist eyes and she loves it.
Then the front door crashes open and it's Jason and Ghosty, unmasked and covered in blood. Instead of being like, oh, what the fuck happened, like a normal person, she just ran to Ghosty and starts making out with him. Then she turns to Jason and kisses his face. And then Michael grabs her jaw and pulls her away from Jason and kisses her. So they're all just making out with her.
Covered in blood.
Michael swoops her over his shoulder and brings her into a room, laying her on her stomach, then takes her pants off and plows into her. Jason crawls on the bed and shoves his dick in her mouth while she's viciously getting fucked by Michael. And Ghosty's like, yeah, boys, let's tie her up. When she's all tied up, absolutely going nowhere, Ghosty grabs a knife and hands it to Michael. And she's like, what are you gonna do to me?
Ghost withdraws his own knife from the back of his pants, twirling it between his fingers skillfully while leaning over the bed. We're gonna fuck your pretty little cunt and tight ass with whatever we see fit. He bites out, burying his hand between my thighs and tracing my clit with his fingers. Is he gonna fuck her with a knife?
Ghosty is fingering her puss. Michael's fingering her ass. And Jason is blindfolding her, choking her, and then shoves his dick in her mouth.
I love being used by them. I can't seem to get enough. Something thicker is replaced with Ghost's fingers. Something unfamiliar. It's the knife handle.
She comes. Ghosty steps away to answer his phone because it just like randomly rings in the middle of them hooking up. And the thrusting stops. Michael starts eating her puss and then she feels the press of a knife on the inside of her leg. Michael dips his fingers in the blood that he just drew and then draws something on her chest. And that's when she realized Ghosty was fucking her with the hilt of the knife.
Good lord. I feel like knife handles or whatever aren't very thick.
Could have been like a hunting knife.
Oh my god. Imagine.
When Jason removes the blindfold, she sees a little heart drawn in blood. That would have freaked me out a little bit. I've been like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
She's untied and resting now and goes down the hallway into Ghosty's room. She sees that he's in the bathroom showering and she really wants to see him. So she sneaks into the bathroom, strips, then joins him in the shower. She sees all the blood in the shower from him and he tells her he would sell his soul for her if he had one. And then they frick in the shower.
It's been not even one night. This bitch has been fucked so many times.
I feel like her vagina would be swollen shut.
Yeah.
It's finally the next morning and she's a sad girl because she knows the games of Halloween are over, and it's time to get back to reality. She tries sneaking out of the house when Jason sees her. He asks if Ghosty knows that she's leaving, and she says no. And Jason tells her Ghosty is going to lose his shit when he wakes up and realizes that she's not there. She tries telling Jason that she told him yesterday that once sunrise comes, it's over. He asks her if that's what she really wants. She doesn't answer, but internally she knows that she doesn't want to leave them all. Finally, she says it was just one night of fun, and she needs to go, then turns and leaves. She's at the library, minding her own business, replaying the whole night in her head when Ghost pops up in her vision. He walks creepily up to her, and he says, "You really thought I'd let you go?" And homeboy, he's looking wild. His eyes are bulging, his hair is disheveled, he has bags under his eyes, like he's looking straight cuckoo. He tells her that he's been watching her for too long to let her go, and she finally realizes why he looked so familiar. She's seen him everywhere. At the park, at the mall, downtown, lurking in the distance.
What the fuck? And after having you last night, I'm keeping what I want. You're mine, little Quinn. He slowly lets out. Say it. Time seems to stop, and a sudden chill sweeps through me, and without a doubt in my mind, I obey. I'm yours. This man stalked you.
That's literally how the book ends.
Oh my god. Because she's equally as psychotic as these men.
She has to be, because there's no fucking way.
I love it so much.
I know you do.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I agree with 3.
Okay.
Fun little read.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy cookie silly.
Yeah, it was just silly.
It was very silly.
Just a silly read. I could get down with it. I think I could read it.
Do the guys get your pussy wet?
Not very much, no.
Just a little, like, trickle?
Yeah, like a little, oh, okay.
Would you trade places with Quinn?
No, no. That sounds absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, she's like, that was the best night of my life, but it sounds like that would be the worst night of my entire life ever.
I know. I don't know how she did any of that. How she was just okay with it. She just watched a bunch of murders.
Yeah.
From her stalker. I like that little plot twist at the end. I thought that was fun when I read it. I was like,
yeah, no, that was a fun little plot twist.
Yeah. Well, that's it for season 2. We did it. 69 episodes.
Fuck yeah, brother.
We'll see you back on January 1st with Death by Laura Thalassa.
What a start to the new year.
Death. Should we have Riley look at the cover?
Oh, yeah. All right. So for Death, what we're starting season 3 with. Obviously, we've done all the other books, and they're all very, not I wouldn't say very similar, but they all follow like the same pattern. Death, I'm assuming, means everyone dies. He just kills everyone. And I think he's going to find some bitch there. But actually, there was kind of a little twisty at the end of the last book. I forgot. So I think that the other brothers are going to come back in this book of some sort. They're going to do something. I don't know what, but all the brothers are going to join. But little Deathy over here is also going to get a bitch. How'd I do?
You didn't say anything wrong.
I'm back, baby, for the end of the season.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.